call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's News for the Soul.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com.
Next on the News for the Soul Radio Network, it's the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, nutrition, natural medicine, advanced Ayurvedics, and more. Dr. Holly is a scientist, the author of 17 books, and a professional international speaker. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here now to help you achieve complete optimal health. Welcome, Dr. Holly, to News for the Soul.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Wednesday. I hope you're enjoying the day, and thank you for listening to the program, and thank you, Nicole, as always, for making the program happen. We've talked the last several weeks about COVID-19. I've given you stats on it. I've given you additional information on the testing of it and the herbs that stop viruses from entering your cells, or the herbs that prevent viruses from replicating. We've looked at food to strengthen your immune system. We've looked at all kinds of things. So today we're going to go over a few of those stats very briefly. And then we're going to move into 5G and all the funny theories going on about 5G and how it actually relates to COVID, or is it something entirely different? It is a concern, so you want to listen. First off, I think Nicole has posted the article. If you're interested in moving along with it, you're welcome, obviously, to do so. However, let's keep some COVID statistics in mind. Number one, there's hundreds of bacteria and viruses that go around every year. Two, if we look at the U.S. alone, not internationally, just the U.S. alone, the 2017-18 flu season, there was 46 million actually diagnosed with the flu just in the U.S. Now, take into consideration how low that number actually is. Between from 1 year to the next, with all the different bacteria and viruses that cause flus, they claim anywhere between 20 and 40% don't even know that they're carrying a particular bug. On top of that, we have those that are a little off. They don't feel quite themselves. They're kind of achy or, you know, what have you. But, you know, they keep going to work. They keep going doing whatever they're doing. Then there's those that need to stay home, that know that they've got a significant flu. And then there's those that are bedridden but can't even go to the doctor because they can't afford the medical costs in the U.S. So when you actually look at that 46 million, you can understand why they say that is probably significantly low. I've heard some people say probably double that. We have over a million worldwide with the COVID-19. 46 million, a low number, actually diagnosed in the U.S. alone in one flu season, and we're dealing with this 1 million worldwide. Okay, second to that, same duration, about 80,000 died from the flu. Now, if we look internationally over the last 20 years, we find anywhere between 290,000 upwards to 650,000 die annually because of the flu. Now, as always, we have compassion for those who have lost a loved one. That goes without saying. But let's put things into perspective. Is this really a pandemic? We can go further. The stats are always the same. Between 92 and 96% that actually die from the flu are over the age of 70 and have multiple preconditions, on an average three preconditions. Medical conditions, typically including respiratory, cardiovascular, and or diabetes. In the U.S. alone, they're on a minimum of 15 different drugs, which we know, and we've said so many times, deplete the body of nutrients, can cause cancer and all kinds of other issues, et cetera, and cause mitochondrial dysfunction. Let's not forget that. So why are we calling this a pandemic? Okay. Now, let's look at a few other issues. At one time, back in the early 1920s and 1900s, they thought all bacteria was bad bacteria, and therefore having an antibiotic was the gift to mankind. Now we find out it's actually very detrimental. It kills all the good guys, and in fact, just in your gut alone. Forget the bacteria that's all through the rest of your body, through on your skin, your hair, your nails, etc., that you need. Just in the gut alone, there's over 35,000 different categories of bacteria that you may have that do a benefit to you. So that wasn't, okay, all bad bacteria are bad, but certainly all viruses are bad. Well, we know that's not the case either. In fact, 46% of your DNA is driven by viruses. They allow for adaptation. They allow for us to adapt to our environment. Holy cow, not all viruses are bad either. If we look at just the COVID group of viruses, there's over 20 different COVIDs that live in our body naturally. Don't do any harm, they're just there. Like all kinds of other things, in fact, could probably do a benefit because usually what we, when Western medicine writes something off and we don't know why or it's just useless or it doesn't actually have a purpose, we usually, again and again and again, Western medicine is repeatedly wrong. Why? Well, because it's an evolving science, right? But unfortunately, for many things, they're still in the dark ages. And I always come back as an interesting aside for that. If you look at Ayurvedic medicine, 3,000 years ago, they could not only do complete organ transplants with higher success rates than we have today, but they could also do limb transplants. They were way ahead of us. We've often talked about how they eliminated 70% of the surgeries for a knee or hip replacement simply by using the Maha Mariana oil. Way, way ahead of us. They didn't have to use chemicals for anesthetics that could kill you. They used the natural, in Ayurvedic medicine are called marma points. Those are the precursors to what we typically recognize as being acupuncture points in Chinese medicine. So on so many different levels, they were so far ahead of us. Okay, so let's keep all that in mind while we look at 5G from a number of different perspectives. Now, there's been a major concern about the installation and activation of these 5G towers and all the panels that we need for it. There was concern over the 4G, and actually concerns go right back to the 3G, because they're electromagnetic frequencies. And like with most things, some of those electromagnetic frequencies are very, very beneficial to the body. The ones we get from the earth, walk around your yard in bare feet. The ones you get from the earth are incredibly beneficial to you. However, like with most things, the more man gets involved, the more detrimental it becomes. And these 4Gs and 3Gs, 4Gs and 5Gs, microwaves, etc., are very detrimental. Now, why? Well, some research says that the 5Gs can actually damage your DNA, disrupt cellular metabolism, lead to cancer, cause even more free radicals or oxidative stress, and lead to a variety of oxidative or stress-related diseases and disorders. Okay. If that's so, then why isn't there something being done with it? Well, a challenge that came up with this COVID was that people supposedly were saying that the 5G was causing the COVID virus. Now, question, because I don't think anybody actually said that. The answers implicated that. The answers directed you away from the issue. The answers being 5G did not cause COVID-19. I don't think anybody thought 5G caused the virus. However, symptoms from the virus and from 5G could be very similar, and one could overlap the other, and one could get blamed for the other. So let's look at that. First off, I put in there, I want to give you this one little piece. There was a controversy, as with everything, there's a controversy about whether or not the COVID virus, the COVID-19 virus, was actually a man-made laboratory virus or an animal virus. Now, as we said, we've got over 20 of the different COVIDs living within us. Belong to a particular animal or species and shouldn't be in us, then they can cause an issue. So initially when COVID started hitting the news, there was some Russian scientists and some German scientists that were saying, hold on a minute, this is not natural COVID. This does not belong to an animal of any species. This is man-made. Then there was another group of scientists who said, no, that's just out to lunch, that this is natural to a species and there isn't anything covert about it whatsoever. That was just a conspiracy theory. Well, I've read from both groups of scientists, and one thing I always have to remember is who's paying for the research, who's getting paid to say what they're saying. And secondly, I haven't found any research, and I could be wrong, but I didn't look today. But I don't know that they've identified the animal that has the virus, which is an interesting issue in and of itself. If it really does belong to an animal, initially they were saying it was from the market. Others were saying, no, it was from the genetic laboratory, which was next to the market or near the market that has animals in it. You knew all the animals in the market and you knew all the animals in the laboratory, so it should have been fairly easy to identify whether one of them had the virus or not. And yet nothing's been said about that. Interesting. Just keep that in mind. All right. Then we have, when it comes to the 5G, back in 2019, President Trump and the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission, worked together to encourage companies in the U.S., like AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, to activate their own towers by the end of 2019, their own 5G towers. Interesting. Okay, now let's take a little step back into history. Back in the 1990s, the FCC, that's the Federal Communications Commission, announced that the RFRs, the radio frequency radiation limits imposed, were based on 1980 studies that were done on behavioral changes they saw in rats. That's where the implementation came from, and it was to protect us from short-term heating risks due to exposure. But since the 1990s and that statement, there's been over, I didn't put a reference to that, sorry about that. There's over 500 studies that have found harmful effects from exposure to the RFRs at intensities too low to cause significant heating. Interesting. This is a quote now from, I gave you the reference there, from the EMF scientist. Some 240 scientists signed a scientific appeal asking for stronger exposure limits. Quoting, numerous recent research publications have shown that EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, affect living organisms at levels well below most international and national guidelines. Effects include increased cancer risk, cellular stress, harmful free radicals, genetic damages, structure and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits and neurological disorders, negative impact on general well-being in humans. Damage goes beyond the human race as there is growing evidence of harmful effects to both plant and animal life. Wow. 240 scientists, somewhere in here I've got, there's like over 2,000 papers. I'll get to that in a moment. But let's just take a side note again here. Plant and animal life. There has been significant research, say, just on bees. Now, we need bees, pollination bees. I'm always asking people, go get some mason bees. Typically up here in February, March, you can get hibernated mason bees. Get them in the yard. Mason bees are 10 times better than honeybees at pollination. We need that pollination for our fruits and vegetables. They're important. And significant losses of pollinating bees throughout the world have correlated very well with the increase in EMFs. So please, as a side note, go get some mason bees. You don't have to worry about them stinging like honeybees do. They don't. And if you step on it, it'll probably sting you. They're not aggressive in the sense that honeybees are. Okay, with honeybees, you do have to be very careful. Actually, it was great. At one time, Tom created 3 honeybee hives. I painted them. He put them up. He took care of them. He had the outfit. He took care of all the honeybees. And then I said, well, actually what we need in the yard is mason bees. So he took one of my bird nests and then put in these tunnels, tubes, and he took off one side of the bird nest or the birdhouse and put in all these tubes and then went and got mason bees. Actually, I was away taking care of my parents at the time, and it was one of the things he did for me when I got home. And I loved it. And so we work every year at making sure those mason bees are there to pollinate everything so that we get good fruits and vegetables. So keep that in mind, mason bees. Do some research on it. Okay, let's continue with the article. 2011, the World Health Organization. I think back in 2011, I still look to them for direction and for research and whatever. I don't anymore, and I've explained why in other articles. But they have a specific agency for research in cancer, the IARC, and they classified that the RFRs may actually be carcinogenic. So I've given you the reference for that as well. Now, you may ask, why is there discrepancy one way or the other? It'd be so much easier. But you have to take into consideration that the early studies, and certainly I think we get into this a little bit further in the article, it depends on what you're looking at. If you're simply looking at the impact of the intensity of exposure, then you won't see of the frequency, the patterning, the duration, how long does the pattern go. Okay, so let's put this in different words. Say you had this on, off, on, off, on, off. So you got 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 2. That's a pattern. The duration would be how long is it on? 2, 2, 2. Actually, I should have used zeros and ones, but you get the idea. What they have found is that the pulsating back and forth actually has a lot more detriment than if the pulse was consistent. So that's another thing. How is it polarized is another component. And these all have huge impact. If you only go as far as the intensity of the exposure, you don't see much impact. But when you get down to the details of the exposure, that's when you see the impact. Now, that's where I put in, together these scientists have more than 2,000 papers. Yeah, okay, there's just a few. All righty. One of the researchers that I liked, and I can't remember, this book's a few years old, is Dr. Samuel Milham. And I gave you a quote. Actually, I just took it right off the internet for his book, Dirty Electricity. So let's just, for those that aren't following along, I put in quotes. He explores the link between occupational exposure to electromagnetic fields, electromagnetic pollution, and human disease, whereby he claims that the current diseases, cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and suicide, and he relates them to the EMF exposure. He goes on to discuss how RFRs from cell phones, towers, terrestrial antennas, Wi-Fi, WiMAX systems, broadband internet, overpower lines, etc., will increase morbidity and mortality. And again, I forgot to put in the second set of quotation marks. Sorry about that. And I've given you the reference for that as well. Okay. If we go back further again, I didn't put this in linear order. I'm taking notes from all over the place, and I've got papers. Way back in 2002, Arthur Furstenberg published an analysis of 5G. Now, this is long before the technology was approved. This is 2002. And he explained how due to the 5G pulses, the electromagnetic pulses, being very short and delivered in bursts, that they actually replicate inside the body. Tiny new 5G antennas internally. Now, that is scary. Holy cow. So I gave you a couple of his quotes and references. When extremely short electromagnetic pulses enter the body, something else The moving charges themselves become little antennas that re-radiate the electromagnetic field and send it deeper into the body. These re-radiated waves are called Borellian precursors. They become significant when either the power or the phase of the wave changes rapidly enough. This means that the reassurance we are being given that these millimeter waves are too short to penetrate far into the body is not true. Wow. Okay, so despite this evidence, 5G is employing these millimeter waves. Okay, now this is in addition to the older kind of waves, because we have older waves for 2G to 4G. Now we've got the millimeter waves. The 5G towers, antennas, are placed approximately 100 to 200 meters apart, thus exposing countless numbers of people to the millimeter wave radiation. This new technology uses active antennas capable of beamforming phased arrays, again, that pulsating phased arrays, and massive multiple inputs and outputs, which are known as massive MIMOs, and I gave you the reference for that. Some claim that the use of the desensification, use of small cells, allowing faster transmission of data may work to reduce the overall levels of the RF signals. But then others say that's nullified because of the rapidly growing data traffic on the networks. And certainly, as you can see, everybody had to go home and start working online, and they're all watching TV online. They're doing their Zooms online, what have you. We have massive overload on these networks, and that will continue to increase. So this is a challenge. Now, I did put in a sidestep again, another sidestep. I'm always doing sidesteps. Let's look at some of these 5G companies. There's apparently 9 companies that already sell 5G radio hardware and 5G systems, and I've given you a list of those companies there. 9 big companies already. So now we have the telecom giant, Hawaii, I never know how to say that properly, it almost sounds like the state Hawaii, has signed over 50 commercial 5G contracts around the world. I've given you the reference for that. Then we have countries like Canada who have actually invested in Hawaii. For instance, the province of Ontario provided $16 million grant to them in 2016 to enhance the research in the province. And of all provinces, guess which province is having the most difficulty with it? Interesting. Now, U.S., Australia, and New Zealand refused to have Hawaii in there, but Britain said yes, although on a limited basis. But then the National Post, that rather than putting all this in, I thought, if you're interested, go to this National Post reference. And it has an interesting article about Hawaii and its entanglement in governments around the world. Kind of disconcerting when you start reading that stuff. CBC also provided an article about the $56 million that Hawaii funded in academic research in Canada. Again, very disturbing. Okay, so that's just a little bit on the companies. They are worldwide. They are huge. I think I put in there somewhere, I think we already went over it, about Trump pushing companies in the U.S. to compete, to get going and be competitive to them. However, so we've done a little bit on the stats. Then we did a little bit on understanding electromagnetic waves. Then we did a little bit on health issues related to the electromagnetic frequencies. Then we looked at the companies. Now, why is there controversy? Why is it yes and no, yes and no? This is where I elaborated on a little bit further. Number one, of course, you're always looking at, just like in medical sciences, who's paying for the research? Who needs to market what and how and why? Secondly, what variables are being studied? Well, I already told you, if you're just looking at the intensity that's being emitted, then there doesn't seem to be much an issue. On the other hand, if you're looking at pulsation, polarization, et cetera, then you start seeing a huge amount of issues. In addition, you have to look at the design and the analysis that are being utilized. They all have an impact on the results. And then you have who's interpreting the results, What are they minimizing, maximizing? What are they focusing on, et cetera? How are they generalizing? That all has an impact on the conclusion. Okay, so that's why we have a lot of controversy. Now, with all of that, what do you believe? This can be a challenge. Holy cow. Well, I gave you one book that I really enjoyed, and that's The Dirty Electricity, but let's look at somebody else. I enjoyed Dr. Professor Martin Paul's research. He looked at four different types of voltage-gated calcium channels in the cells. He looked at gadium, sodium channels, potassium channels, and chloride channels as well. And he looked at how they are all activated by electromagnetic frequencies of varying types. Now, that's natural. Okay? Now, when we bring in the unnatural EMFs, the 5G, we're looking at modulating pulsations, nanosecond pulses, paired nanosecond pulses of identical polarity, each producing large effects, quote unquote. Basically, if you think about it from a different perspective, give you an analogy. Take a battery. Battery is polarized. It's got a positive and negative end. If that battery, that polarization, was the membrane of a cell or of your mitochondria within the cell, that polarization has to change in order for the compound to move through the membrane and into the cell. And what he is saying is that with our natural EMFs that come from the earth, those are all standardized. But when we introduce synthetic EMFs through 5G that have different pulsation frequencies, that have different polarization frequency capacities, etc., that changes how the cell functions. And consequently, any claims made by multi-trillion euro telecommunication industries based on these safety guidelines are simply fraudulent. Now, he has a really good article, which I have shared with many people. You might want to read it. The reference is right there for it. Now, at the conclusion of that article, and I did just copy and paste this, he wrote, "My six worst nightmares based on 5G. Irreversible crash in human reproduction, close to zero, based mainly but not solely on the impact of male reproduction. It has a huge impact on the sperm. The controversial to the degree it has an impact on the female eggs, but it has a huge impact on the male sperm. A rapid, albeit somewhat slower than number one, crash in our collective brain functioning produced by massive impacts on human brain structure and function. And part of that has to do with the mitochondria, has to do with the voltage shifting in the neurons as the, if you want, the current moves down the stem of the neuron. It can affect that. A very early onset of Alzheimer's, so not over the age of 70, but moving down. In some articles, it's saying it's down as low as 40s and 50s. Autism and ADHD, primarily caused by prenatal exposure to 4G and 5G. Massive deterioration in the human gene pool. Now, this is what a lot of research has shown, is that the 5G actually has a huge impact on the DNA. Okay, so if it has an impact on the DNA as well as the DNA in the sperm and possibly on the eggs, which we said originally. Widespread sudden cardiac death in all ages, age ranges, caused by EMF impacts on the pacemaker cells in the sinoatrial node of the heart. Wow, that is huge. So just think about it. If your mitochondria can't function, if there's mitochondrial damage, if you're having DNA alteration in the cells, never mind in the sperm and in the eggs, if you're having neurological issues because of brain functioning, incredible heart issues, and you got with all your different types of the four different types of sodium channels, you got your chloride channels, your potassium channels, etc. Man, we're having a huge impact. Now, In addition to what Dr. Paul says, we can go to Dr. McCullough and various others who talk about how the calcium channels is hugely important to the mitochondria in specific. Now, I've said before that the number one cause of mitochondrial damage has been shown to be medication, prescription drugs. We have oxidative stress, we have metal toxicity, nutrient deficiency, and we have the number one being pharmaceutical damage. But that's up to now. Very well be that once all this 5G is activated, it's going to be the 5G that causes the major mitochondrial dysfunction. If our mitochondria aren't functioning, you know the mitochondria produces your fuel, your ATP, in the cell. If they can't produce fuel, then anything and everything can go awry, okay? So you have to have the calcium channel regulated appropriately for the mitochondria to make your ATP. If that those channels are disrupted, you're going to damage the mitochondria and reduce the amount of ATP. That is huge. So I've given you actually two there because that was a really big one. I got about 25 of them, but I gave you two there, references. Okay, now stop and think. Truly know whether it's man-made or animal. There's so much controversy over it. We don't really know. Lots of suggestion that actually started in the States, but then there's lots of suggestion that started in China. Certainly the outbreak occurred in Wuhan in China. And we have this 5G going on. If you actually look at maps where the virus has the greatest impact, you'll also find that that's where the 5G has been activated. And I've given you references for both of those. Look at the maps. It's not 100% correlated, but man, oh man, there's a high correlation there. So what do we do with all that information? I obviously don't have the answers for you. I would suggest the more we become aware of all this information, the more that we are actively engaged in addressing these issues to the degree that we can, the better probabilities we have for our health. If we become paranoid, scared, frightened, etc., that has a huge negative impact on the health. We know that. Being angry and pissed off like I get with this, man, I can rant and rave like nobody's business with all this kind of stuff. But that really doesn't help our health. It gets a message across, but it doesn't help our health. So what should we do? Well, you do have control over how you focus your energy, how you utilize energy. Like we've always said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what you choose to do with it. So let's choose to deal with this effectively. Let's focus our energies on becoming aware, choosing to engage in life in a healthy way, eating the proper herbs and foods to support our immune system, protect ourselves in any way we can, and stand up and have a voice whenever, wherever we can. Don't waste time being paranoid, being scared, being frightened. That does not help your biology. It does not help your neurology. It does not help your immune system. And it puts out a negative energy you don't want to be putting out. Please remember, the more that you say, choose to stay focused on the positive, choose to stay focused on being as effective as you can, supporting those around you, being kind and compassionate, being positive and trustworthy, those are the things that we want. And we want those things to override anything else. Okay? All righty. I have given you a variety of other references to also look at. I think they're all good references. They all have interesting things to say. And ultimately, we all have to make our own choices. Okay? So, having said that, I do not think the 5G created the coronavirus. I think the 5G has a number of similar issues that the coronavirus has shown, and that one is being used to cover up for the other. I could be very wrong, but that is my current perception. And I said right from the beginning, this is the perfect storm. There's a lot of different variables that come together from so many different angles to create this perfect storm that we've had. But it's up to us how we're going to choose to deal with it. All right. Let's go to some questions that Nicole sent over. Where did I put those? There we go. Number one is from Texas. Inspiration for fibromyalgia. I've been drinking water, 2 cups of celery juice daily, vegan smoothies with fruit and small bits of spinach, egg-free, dairy-free, gluten-free, mainly conventional sugar-free, rarely eat out. Chewing meat, fruit, and vegetables is mostly organic. Cat's claw, zinc, CoQ10, and a lot of other supplements and teas. Too many to list. Have inflammation. Diet is so limited, it's hard to give up gluten-free bread and rice. No peanuts. Please help. Well, that is quite the story. Challenge is it doesn't tell me near enough. So I'm going to go for a little bit and tell you my story because there's quite a bit of controversy. Have we heard that word before today? There's quite a bit of controversy still around fibromyalgia. So I'll tell you what happened to me and where I go with it. I was diagnosed with polymyalgia. Now, polymyalgia is when you have fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis, and rheumatoid arthritis all at the same time. It's painful. I think I've shared many times over the last 5-6 years. I used to be taking 3 to 4 Tylenol 3 with codeine times a day. In those days, I ran several multi-million dollar businesses, smaller businesses. I was on the go all the time. I enjoyed all that, but it had its toll. I actually have taken all that Tylenol. I'm lucky I'm still alive. That's for about 10 years in the U.S. alone. 55,000 people administered to emergency wards because of Tylenol overdose. And I can't remember the exact numbers. You would think I would. How many died just from Tylenol? You think because it's over the counter, it's okay to take? That is not the case. And like I said, I'm lucky I'm still alive taking all that I took. But that was years before I became a doctor of natural medicine. I was a psychologist at that time, confronting, challenging the psychological theories. I challenge theories. I don't just simply sit back and accept what I've been told. I want to do the research. I want to find deeper answers. I want to go further. So I'm always challenging every system and consequently, I make lots of enemies that way because people don't like being challenged. All righty. Now, if we go back to fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis, and rheumatoid arthritis, they all have one thing in common, inflammation. So what I do when I'm dealing with any of those or the combination of them, I'm looking first to deal with the inflammation. Your body is not designed to carry on clinical inflammation or subclinical inflammation for any duration of time. It needs to resolve it. I went into health food stores and I took every type of omega-3 anti-inflammatories, omega-3s that I could find. And I did tons of research trying to find all the anti-inflammatory foods and I ate everything I could. I got rid of it. And I get rid of it for everybody else that comes in with it. Those omega-3s, anti-inflammatories, are hugely important to get rid of the inflammation. The challenge is, what allowed the body to become so inflamed in the first place? Metal toxicities, infections, structural images that never got resolved, stress. I mean, what combination of things were going on? Then you've got your medication, you've got environmental toxicities, you've got metal toxicities. There's just a ton of things that could play into that. So when I'm working with people, I'm usually, the number one thing is to get that inflammation down, help the body get resolve the inflammation. Once we're getting the inflammation under control, now we're looking at all the other possibilities. The body might naturally be able to clear it up on its own. I've seen that a couple of times. That was awesome. Or we just need extra help. Now that we've got the inflammation down, we need to help the body learn how to do these other things as well. Okay? Looking at what you're telling me, the lemon water is great. Hot water and lemon. Make sure you're using your own organic lemons and you're making your own lemon juice. Cut off the ends where the solenoids are. You don't want those. Cut off the ends of the lemon. But in terms of the lemon, you want the outer rind, the inner rind, the meat of the fruit, as well as the seeds. Just make sure you cut off about a quarter of an inch on either end. I'm sorry, I just don't think that celery juice is going to do much help for you. The vegan smoothies, no problem with that, but don't mix fruit and vegetables. Do them separately. And I would only use fruits that are very, very low in sugar. Okay. Eggs free, well, I would, maybe you're allergic to eggs, that's not saying that, but I would make sure you were getting good eggs off of a farm that has truly free-run eggs. They only need to be out of the cage for 5 minutes. For them to be called free run in the store. But I also want them to have flaxseed. When you put flaxseed into the feed for eggs, it increases the nutrient density hugely. Gluten-free, sure, although I think it's usually the Monsanto products, the biophosphates that are causing the problem as opposed to the gluten. So you want to eliminate that. Definitely sugar-free. Organic, obviously, that's excellent. Instead of the CoQ10, you might want to be using EMIQ. It's the readily available form of CoQ10 so that your body doesn't have to do anything with it. You may also want to use transfer factor to support your immune system. Of course, your inflammatory system is part of your immune system. So you may need to go on transfer factor, and the best transfer factor I know of in North America is through 4Life, the number 4, 1, 2, 3, 4Life. They have a great transfer factor. If you want to get that, you can actually email me and I'll help you out with that. Bread, I would use a sourdough bread, and I would use a potato starter, okay? So there's some ideas that might help you. The number one thing is get rid of that inflammation, get those omega-3s into the body. Now, a really good source for omega-3 in food is your avocados. Avocados have virtually the same ratio of omega-3, 6, and 9 that the body has. So that helps the body regulate it effectively. All right, let's move on. We have Vanessa in Quebec. I'd like to know what Dr. Holly thinks about making one's own mask out of bandanas or scarves. Is it effective? Well, I'm assuming that you're talking about having a facial mask for the COVID, not for your wrinkles or what have you, but you're talking about the COVID. I don't do anything. It's a flu going around. If I get it, well, I'll probably get over it. I'm more interested in helping people build up their immune systems. If you're immunocompromised, then that's another issue, as with any flu season. If you're immunocompromised, then stay away from people as much as you can. But if you're not, then, you know, wash your hands and build up your immune system. I keep saying that over and over and over again. Again, you know, we have 1 million internationally, as opposed to 46 million being a very low number in the U.S. a year and a half ago. Put the two together. Think about it. Last week, I think I've mentioned this already in the show, but last week I gave a list of herbs that prevent viruses from entering into the cells, as well as herbs that stop viruses from replicating. And the week before that, I gave you a variety of foods to help build up your immune system as well. Your immune system is designed to deal with this stuff. Let it deal with it. To me, that's far more important. And to be honest, I haven't looked into masks at all because I don't ask anybody to wear them. I just continue on with life. I just have a real hard time with this being a pandemic. Okay. Let's see. Darlene in California. I'm feeling challenged with anxiety with all that's going on, and I'm wondering what Dr. Holly can recommend for healthy solutions. Well, I've provided a ton of answers. Not only just by looking at it differently, have a healthy perspective of it. Don't get all alarmed and paranoid like they're trying to get you to do. Have a healthy perspective. Wash your hands. Eat the good, healthy foods. that support your immune system, your transfer factor, your probiotics, your omega-3s. We've given a ton of foods in the article 2 weeks ago. And last week, I gave you a whole long list of herbs from your kitchen to utilize. So right in your own kitchen without having to go to any naturopath or nutritionist or herbalist or anybody else. I've given you a ton of food in your kitchen that you can be utilizing. And again, I emphasize to everybody, grow your own herbs. They are so easy to grow. Your rosemary, your parsley, your thyme, and your oregano, all your different types of chives and garlic, basil, and there's just so much you can grow in your window if you're in an apartment, on your deck if you're in an apartment. You know, if you're facing north or south, you're going to use different herbs. Some don't care. But they're so incredulously nutrient dense. I've often said, you know, as much as I have a PhD in nutrition, I identified the biochemistry for cellular healing in nutrition. I only have a master's in herbal medicine. To me, herbal medicine is far more potent to healing. Food is your mainstay. That provides the basis. But herbs are a lot more nutrient dense and powerful when it comes to having to heal something that's gone sideways. They're just incredible. So to keep them in your kitchen and to utilize them in your smoothies, in your omelets, in your salads. And we have salad every day, sometimes twice a day. And a variety of different types of salads. I grow all my own lettuces and arugula and kale and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's just straight herb salad. All I do is put in herbs. Put in oil and vinegar. I use a variety of different oils. I use MCT oil. I use the avocado oil. I'll use straight vinegar. I'll use balsamic vinegar. I'll have all kinds of infused vinegars. You know, again, when you're making other types of salads, put in all your herbs, you know, have a different focus every salad. But they're incredibly nutrient dense, and they are so, so good for you. I'm so sorry for people that say, oh, well, I eat bland food. That's too bad, because you're missing out on a huge amount if you're eating bland foods. There are so many herbs that are just so incredulously good for you that you can do in your kitchen. Now, granted, you're not going to be growing all kinds of ones that say I have tinctures for that I use for medicinal purposes. You don't grow a lot of those. You don't grow any of those in your kitchen, like ashwagandha and ginkgo and neotrococcus and, you know, all those types of things. You don't typically grow those in the kitchen, but there is a ton you can. So make use of them. Focus on them. Have I said that enough? I get very passionate about this, in case you hadn't noticed. All right, I got to do a sidestep here, and I do this. How many weeks have I been saying this? I'm just so thrilled. Every day I get to work a couple hours in my garden, and I go around and I talk to all my plants, and I'm sure the neighbors think I'm crazy. I talk to my trees. I'm, you know, trimming the trees. I organize all my fruit trees so that the leaves or the branches go horizontal instead of vertical, so that I can just reach up. I'm only 5 feet tall. I don't want to be using ladders to get all this fruit. So I trained all my trees they go up to just over 5 feet, maybe almost 6 feet, and then they go out horizontal. So I can just reach up and pull off all this incredible fruit, and they're also blossoming so beautifully this year. Just a ton. Of course, my mason bees are just starting to come out. The blueberries and the raspberries and the honeyberries and the Joshua berries and the blackberries, everything is just doing phenomenally well. Of course, my herbs, they go all through the winter, so that's great. But I've got them all now again in my kitchen window, and they're looking lovely. I just love all, you know, people look at flowers. Like, why do you want flowers when you can have all these vegetables and fruit that provide all these blossoms, and then you get to eat everything that's so healthy and so good? So, oh dear, have I talked enough about that yet? Let's move on. Okay, let's move to Daryl in New Jersey. I keep finding some weird sores, spots I've banged into something, but there's no bruise. I was wondering if it's possible. It could be some sort of internal systemic thing going on. It could be all kinds of things, Daryl. Again, if there's no bruising, it could. The first thing I would look at is mental toxicities and what types of medications are you taking. But like we were talking about earlier, depending on where those sore spots are, it could be something like fibromyalgia. It could be a variety of things. So I would make sure that there's just so many it could be. I would go and get. Then we have Alicia. Alicia in New York. My sleep patterns and routines are all messed up with having to avoid work and stay home most of the time. I've been trying melatonin, but it's not helping. Oh, yes, it's all. Number one, you want to create a steady waking up and going to sleep. You know, go to bed at a certain time, get up at a certain time regardless. Second to that, you might want to have a cold shower just before you go to sleep, get into a warm shower and then get it colder and colder. That eliminates the positive ions and balances the negative ions. Don't read or watch TV in bed. Apart from that, the things that could be helping depends on whether it's your adrenals or your immune system. Is it your thyroid? Is it mental toxicity? It could be nutrient deficiencies like magnesium, amino acids like tryptophan, you make your serotonin with, glycine or theanine. It could be neurotransmitter deficiencies like GABA. Some of your probiotics and your lemon balm tea help. Acetylcholine, your eggs might help with the choline. Great sources of choline is in eggs along with your B vitamins. It could be your hormonal imbalance with your adrenals. Again, we said thyroid. What are you eating for the last 4 hours before going to bed? You know, obviously making sure you're not taking any caffeine. What else? Are you stressed? You know, stress and again, your adrenals go hand in hand. So it could be a variety of things. Tinctures like passiflora. Tinctures like passiflora, Bellitaria, hops, kava kava, St. John's wort. Those can all have a huge impact on your capacity to go to sleep. Ones like valeriana and lavender you have to be concerned about because 10 to 20% of the population have the opposite effect. Like for myself, lavender wakes me up, does not put me to sleep. Your adrenals obviously interfere with your body's capacity. Cortisol interferes with your body's capacity to make melatonin. And as more than melatonin is released going from stage 2 into stage 3 sleep, it keeps you into a deeper sleep longer and helps to orchestrate the healing while you're asleep as opposed to putting you to sleep. I think that's very much a misconception, not a misdemeanor, misconception. Obviously, with your adrenals, all the different adaptogenic herbs could be helped. So that there is a variety of things that you can be doing. Making your own teas. Now, those types of things I said earlier, say your kava kava, your hops, your Scalateria, passiflora, you can go in and buy those teas and make blends. For some people, it's the blend. Chamomile tea is another one people often use for going to sleep. So there are a variety of things that you can do. I rarely suggest for people to take melatonin to go to sleep. I want you to have melatonin so that your body can move from stage 2 into stage 3 and 4 and sleep and stay asleep longer. Okay? All righty. With that, we're going to end the session today. I hope you got some information that is useful for you, that you can work with. Again, keep positive, keep moving forward. Body and your immune system, we've given you tons of information. Stay engaged, stay aware, and recognize what you have control over and what you don't have control over and move on from there. Okay? This is Dr. Holly with Sources Unlimited for Health and Wellness, doing the Whole Health Integrative Program with Nicole on News for the Soul. If you go to my website, choicesunlimited.ca, that gives you a place to, and I'm still copying and pasting those 900 articles. I can't believe how long this is taking me. More because I'm going to be outside in the garden than doing work like that, seeing clients. But you can get all the contact information, other websites that you can go to, et cetera. There's tons of books and videos and YouTubes and what have you. Make use of all of it. Make it a great week. Make wise choices. Stay healthy, and we'll talk with you again next week. Take good care. I'm Dr. Holly. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.